Good morning. Can you hear me okay? We're doing a little mic test here with David to see if this is okay. Are we doing okay? Good morning. How's that? Can you hear me all right? Okay, who has our first request for hymn sing? Welcome, welcome. Let's sing. How about number 249? I just flipped the page to There's a Song in the Air. Number 249, and let's sing verses 1 and 4. Yes, Trudy. Okay, I heard 600. Song on page 600, Wonderful Words of Life, and we'll do verses 1 and 3. Has another request. Yes. 133. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, page 133 in your hymnals, and verses 1 and 3. Leaning on the everlasting we have time for one more. Yes, Gary. 380. I'm getting there. There's within my heart a melody, 380 verses 1 and 5. Continue with our worship service.
Hello, welcome everybody to the House of Faith, the best Methodist church in Yucaipa. I am your host, Stephen Mickle. I'll be your liturgist today. So please sign in a little red book. It's not like the little red books they give out in China, okay? This is different. So please put your name and address in a red book, and that way you might get some mail.
How about the best Methodist in Southern California?
Beth Methodist in the state of California. It's official now. So happy birthday, Carol, Sharon, Phillips, and Mary. The February newsletter is available in the Narthex. Please contact the office to change your delivery method, whether paper mail, hard copy, email, or pickup. Season 3, join us today at 11 a.m. in the Camellia Room, The Chosen. Okay, February 27th, learn about life in the Renaissance. Parents' Night Out, archery, art, sciences, culture, combat, and clothing. Are they authentic, real weapons? Hey, kids got to learn sometime. All right. We Bought a Zoo. That's a movie, March 7th at 11 a.m. A young father moves his family out to the countryside to renovate and reopen a struggling zoo. It's based on a true story. What? Pastor's Lunch. When? March 11 at high noon. Where? Legend China 8 in Cala Mesa. Cost? $15. Sign up at the script table in the fellowship hall or call in to the church office. Call in, though. Don't call out. Call to worship. Please stand. Keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you.
I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense.
My choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find I'm your choice.
Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go.
Please sing hymn 185, verses 1 through 3, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
When morning gilds the sky, my heart awakening cry, may Jesus Christ be alike and walk and pray, to Jesus I repay. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night becomes as day, when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The pause of darkness flee, when this sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around ring joyous with the sound, may Jesus Christ be praised. Heaven's eternal bliss, the lovely strength is this. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Please pass a peace. Joys and concerns follow. Zoom can unmute to speak.
Peace be with you.
Is that you? Is that really you?
Yeah.
Where are your gangs? Not to worry. Okay. All right, everyone. We have quite a few worshiping with us on Zoom, so we want to recognize them and welcome them. All righty. Hello, Helen, as usual. Helen is one of the first ones to sign in on Zoom all the time. So good to see you, Helen. And I guess Austin and Edna are back from the trip. So glad to see ya. And George, look at George. He's like a 99% Santa Claus.
He needs a red hat.
You're doing a great job, George. Great job. And so glad to see you, June. And Kenny, usual. From all the way from Georgia, and Alicia and Destiny. Destiny looks so pretty in that picture. Welcome to Bill and April, and Brian and Janine, Chris, David, and we have Carol and Mike on Zoom as well. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the wonderful greetings that you give me. For those of you that were here last week, I have to correct something. When I told you about that occurrence between my son and Lorraine's daughter, it turned out that I was mistaken. I approached him about it this past week. We got together one night, and I says, "Why did you do that?" And he says, "That's not what happened." He said that a week before she passed, Lorraine called him. I was out doing a bunch of chores and stuff, and I was going to be gone a couple of hours. So she told him she needed to talk to him, and she said, told him that her daughter, the one that's helping out, is a hoarder. She says she hasn't been over to her daughter's house in years because you can't hardly walk through because it's just full of junk. And so that night that he and I went out to dinner together and came back, and I went into the kitchen and he was in the dining room, and she told me that he had told her to get all of Lorraine's stuff out and get rid of it and use some foul language. That's what I reported last week. Well, he says that's not what happened. He says Lorraine asked him to come over, and she said that her daughter's a hoarder. Don't let her clutter up our house. So he had told her without any bad language to basically to that, if you're going to be here, don't bring a bunch of clutter or take a bunch of stuff. So I feel a lot better about my son now. Okay, today I didn't get off to a good start. Our electricity went out at 8 o'clock, so no electricity. Getting out of the car here to come into church, I broke my glasses.
Oh, boy.
They're just readers, so it's not a big loss, but I couldn't pick any songs today because I couldn't see the titles and stuff. I just want you to know how much I appreciate all the love and concern that I've received from everybody here. It's wonderful.
Tell us about the memorial service.
Oh, yes, yes. I've made two appointments here for church services. I have a very small family. Lorraine has or had a large family. She had 6 children and 16 grandchildren, and of course, associated relatives. So every time we would put out when we were going to do it because it worked for us, one side of the family, or not my family, but her family, somebody, well, we can't make it then. You're going to have to change it. So we change that, and then, well, somebody else, oh, we can't make that date. So we think we got it nailed down. We're just going to pick a date, and whoever can come, comes. It's going to be in April. We'll have a memorial service here, and either the following or preceding day will be the ceremony at Riverside National Cemetery. She's going to have her ashes put in with her former husband's ashes. So everybody's up to date. We should be giving you a date soon. Thank you.
And just to minimize conflict with that date, we can put it up on Zoom for anybody that can't be here.
Colin is back.
I'm so happy to be back. Missed everybody. I had a nice time with my daughter. She went through surgery on January 27. It went perfectly. And then the outcome, we found out 8 days later, was also perfect. There's absolutely the best possible outcome for her. And so no follow-up treatments are needed. And I'm just praising God.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to welcome Lloyd Joyce's son, Joyce Schlitt. I'm glad you're here today.
Just a loner.
Thanks, Becky.
Hi, Cheryl Stevens here. I'm having a total knee replacement on Tuesday. So I appreciate all the prayers and good thoughts that everybody's wished me so far. Very, very nervous, but I think it'll be good. At least I hope so.
Good morning. My name's Pat Shores. I was just looking at the prayer list, and I noticed my niece, Michelle Crystal's on there. And then you drop down about the middle of the page, and my brother Doug is on there, and he recently died. And then also my sister Allison is on there. So I'm finally being able to bring my family to church.
Well done.
Lori Pertell here. Just a quick update about my mom. She is getting settled into the assisted living facility in St. George. And as I shared with Pastor last week, there is a Methodist church that we didn't know about right around the corner. And a lovely person from that church did indeed come by and pick up my mom. And she got to be with her Methodist church worshipers last Sunday. And she even is signed up for a women's retreat back in Mesquite that someone's going to carpool them all to. So thank you for your prayers for her, and appreciate all that. Thank you.
Very nice.
Anyone on Zoom, please unmute and raise your hand.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus,
our hearts are prone to wander, easily swayed by fleeting desires. Doubts arise within us and lead us down a slippery path. Yet when we stumble, your grace is already near to lift us up. Make our feet steady so that we may not be tossed about between life's highs and lows. Though weak, we are willing to walk in your way. Renew within us the passion to love you. We are no longer ours, but yours. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Lord Jesus, when we walk through this lifelong journey, we sometimes wonder where we are and when our time would be, when you call us home, where you have a wonderful place for each and every one of us. Sometimes we wonder where we can find the joy of living. We feel like that our mission here on earth is all accomplished, and we don't see any more vision in life. But Lord, regardless where we are, wherever we are, we know that you are still working in our life, working for us, working within us, that we can still find the purpose in living. As long as we are here on earth, O Lord, we know our mission is not done yet. We have a lot to work on. So, Lord, open our eyes that we may find things to glorify you, to serve you and your people. We have been given wonderful friends and families, wonderful church to serve, and the nation to uphold in our prayers. And people out there are still looking for the way, the truth, and the life. And when you give us an opportunity, O Lord, we will be there to share your love, to tell the message of your salvation. So, Lord, empower us that we may be able to continue on and fight on. Restore within us, Lord Jesus, the joy of living. Abiding in you is a wonderful thing. We can always find the reason to celebrate life. So restore the joy that you initially gave unto us through your cross within us, that we may continue to celebrate life despite all the troubles we see, the challenges we face. Whatever the situation we are in, we can still find the reason to celebrate life. So we invite your Holy Spirit to come and give us this joy of living within our hearts and within our lives. Empower us, O Holy Spirit, that we can draw strength from you, that we may not be discouraged and disheartened by any problems, but with the power that we find in you, we will continue on. So, Lord, as we worship together this morning, we recognize who we are, including our weaknesses, and also who you are. You are the source of strength and hope. We yield to you, O Lord. We believe that you have plans for each and every one of us. And to that plan, to your sovereign will, we yield once more. And pray that you use us, use this church, use our circle of friends and families to glorify your name. So we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is The 99th Sheep, written by Merrill Doney, illustrated by Taffy Davies. Jesus told two very famous stories to show just how much God loves us. One we call the lost sheep. The other is usually known as the prodigal son, but it's really about two sons. One took his share of his father's money and left home. The other stayed behind but was very jealous when his brother was welcomed back. In this story, I have mixed the two together and told them from the sheep's point of view. Jesus' message is still the same. God loves each one of us. Merrill Doney. Oh, my poor feet, said Curly as he limped down the track toward the fold. It had been a long, hot day on the hillsides outside Bethlehem, and every sheep was glad to see the gray stone walls of home. Don't shove. You pushed. Ouch, my hoof, cried the sheep as they all tried to crowd through the doorway at once. One, two, three, the shepherd began his patient counting. 65, 66, 67. His practiced eye picked out each sheep as it passed. 96, 97, 98, 99, heard Curly as he limped in last. Wait a minute, said the shepherd. 98, 99, someone's missing. It's not me, I'm here, said Curly. The shepherd turned to look back up the track. Already the sun had dipped behind the hill. The path was empty. Judah, Ben, help me count again, he called to his two sons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 98, 99. It's Daisy, said Curly. Bah, trust Daisy, said another sheep. Always trouble, came several more bleats. It's Daisy, I think, said Judah. The shepherd sighed. You know what to do, boys, he said to his sons. He hitched up his water bottle back onto his shoulder, took up his crooked stick, and wearily started up the path. The sheep settled down to sleep. Move over. I haven't any room. You've heaps of room. You're too fat. No, I'm not. Mind my hoof, clumsy. Judah pulled his cloak around his shoulders and settled himself in the gap in the wall, making himself into a human door. Ben set out for the village to ask for help. When Ben arrived in the village, everyone was preparing for the evening meal. He went to a friend's house. Please, can you help us? One of our sheep is missing, he begged. It's Daisy. Daisy, everyone laughed. Not again. Out on the mountainside, Daisy looked up from the clump of grass she was munching. That's funny, she thought. Where is everyone? She scanned the empty path. The tips of the hills were glowing pink in the last rays of the setting sun. There was no sign of the flock, the boys, or the shepherd. A moment later, the sun dropped behind the mountains and the world was dark. Bah! Daisy bleated in alarm. Where are you, shepherd? Without stopping to think, she began to run uphill. The path narrowed into a track. Thorns scratched her legs. Suddenly, the path disappeared altogether. Help, she bleated as she fell head over heels. Ouch, as the brambles caught her. Bah, as she landed on a narrow ledge. Help, she wailed, but her voice echoed way down in the valley of the darkness. The night was just turning to gray morning when Daisy heard a tiny sound. Was it a voice calling? High above her, two vultures began circling lazily. Vultures love young sheep to eat. Daisy froze with fear. Then she heard the sound again. It was nearer this time. It was definitely a voice. Bah! Called Daisy as loud as she possibly could. Bah! There you are. The shepherd's face, tired and hot, broke into a delighted smile as he peered over the cliff. Swiftly, he scrambled down the ledge and began to pull back the thorns. Soon have you out of there, Daisy, he said as he worked. Finally, he lifted her up in his strong arms, slung her onto his shoulders, and began the long trek home. Daisy closed her eyes. She was safe. Back in the fold, the sheep were restless. It's not fair, moaned Curly. All this fuss over Daisy. She's always dreaming and wandering off. Yes, said another sheep. She's just greedy, if you ask me. Serves her right if she's lost. Would you like to be alone and lost on the hillside at night? Asked a kindly old ewe. Curly looked up in the sky. He could see two vultures circling in the distance. He shivered. The sun was just coming up behind the fold when Curly heard the familiar whistle. The sheep, who had been huddled together dozing, stirred and looked up. Striding down the path came the shepherd, and there on his shoulders they could see the small, woolly outline of Daisy. I found her, the shepherd called to his sons. Is she okay? Yes, she's fine. A bit scratched. She was caught in brambles. The boys ran to meet their father. The shepherd grinned his happiness from ear to ear. Go get your mother and the neighbors, he said as he set Daisy down gently in the fold. We'll have a breakfast celebration. The sheep were not so delighted to see Daisy. Stupid, said one as she limped forward, causing so much trouble. It's not fair, said Curly loudly. All this fuss over Daisy. We have been here all the time. We didn't get lost, but Daisy gets the party. Shepherd's favorite. There was a long silence. Finally, the old ewe walked over to miserable Daisy and licked her nose. He's a good shepherd, she said. He cares for every one of us. It wouldn't matter if it was me or you or Curly. If we were lost, he'd come looking for us. That's just how he is.
What a celebration breakfast they had that morning. The shepherd's wife brought newly baked bread. The boys carried water bottles and wineskins. The neighbors added figs, cheese, and olives, and the shepherd played his pipes. Daisy kept close to the shepherd, and so did Curly, the 99th sheep. The shepherd bent down and patted them both on their woolly heads. "There," he said gently, "this party is for everyone." The end. Whether intentionally or by accident, we have all been Daisy, and we have all been Curly. So may we forgive each other the way we want God to forgive us and live as Jesus lived. Amen.
All right. Precious Lord, take my hand. 474, verses 1 through 3. Scripture will be Judges 6, 1 through 10. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel, and because of Midian, the Israelites provided for themselves hiding places in the mountains, the caves, and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites would put in seed, the Midianites and Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land as far as the neighborhood of Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, nor any sheep, ox, or donkey. For they and their livestock would come up, and they would even bring their tents as thick as locusts. Neither they nor their camels could be counted. So they wasted the land as they came in. Thus Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites in the land where you live. But you have not given heed to my voice. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all. It's always to come to this cozy place and beautiful sanctuary and worship together. And I extend warm welcome to all those worshiping with us on Zoom as well. Wherever we are, as our hearts are open unto the Lord, we can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. Tom was the best handyman in town. He could fix anything that broke. Unfortunately, he also had a temper of a chainsaw and the vocabulary of a dog walker. A violent storm tore part of the roof of the local Methodist church, and rain poured into the sanctuary. Every roofer in town was booked solid except Tom, possibly because of his hot temper. With another storm forecast before Sunday, the pastor reluctantly hired him. Up on the roof, Tom was hammering shingles when he smashed his thumb. He howled, "I missed it!" Then he added several words that were definitely not in the hymnal. From the ground below, the pastor looked up nervously. "You really shouldn't say that." Tom leaned over the edge. "Why not? What's going to happen? I'll get struck by lightning or something?" The pastor folded his arm. "You might well be." At that exact moment, the sky went black and thunder cracked. A blinding bolt of lightning shot down from the heavens. It narrowly missed Tom and struck the pastor squarely. Miraculously, he survived, though smoke curled from his shoes and his hair stood straight up. Then the pastor looked up at the sky and shouted, "Darn it, you missed Tom!" It's just a joke. God makes no mistake. But the joke raises a point worth considering. The Hebrew word for sin is hatah. It means missing the mark or failing. Missing the mark. We are created to have a close relationship with God by focusing on Him, but sin misaligns that focus. It leads us to stray from God rather than draw nearer. After the fall, we can recover and return to God. However, our deeply rooted sinful nature pulls us away again. As a result, we fall into a cycle of sin, repentance, and reconciliation. This cycle is clearly shown in Scripture so that we can learn and avoid falling into the same trap. And the best place to learn about the cycle is the book of Judges. The book in its entirety describes the Israelites going through the cycle. After Joshua, who led Israelites into Canaan, died, a new generation grew up without knowing God and went right back to the practices of their ancestors. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord, worshiped idols, and aroused God's anger. Consequently, God gave them into the hands of their enemies. Israel fought against them, but to no avail. In great distress, they cry out to the Lord, And God, in his mercy, raised up judges and saved them from the hands of their enemies. But when the judges died, the people returned to their ways and stubbornly refused to give up their evil practices. There were 12 judges who were divided into two groups, 6 major and 6 minor. The reason for the division is rather simple. The major judges accomplished much more than the minor ones. In fact, the book of Judges devotes far more space to the major judges, and we are very familiar with their names, such as Deborah, Gideon, and Samson. On the other hand, the book gives only a short paragraph for the minor judges, without any description of their accomplishment. Do you remember any of those names of the minor judges? I don't. One easy minor judge to remember, and you can remember this for a long time, is Elon, as in Elon Musk. Right? And if you want your grandson to be a billionaire, you may want to give him the name Elon, and it might happen. An interesting note is that the story of each of the major judges always begin with, the Israelite did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Let me quote a couple of verses from Judges chapter 3. They literally describe the repetition of the cycle. Verse 12, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 15, again, the Israelites cry out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer. The word of God this morning describes a dire situation in Israel before God called Judge Gideon. The rest of the story in the scripture unfolds in exact order of the full cycle of Israel's disobedience, turning to God and recovery. Israel's disobedience brought judgment through the Midianites, who were so oppressive that Israel lived in mountain clefts and caves and did not have enough to eat. As Israel cry out to the Lord for deliverance, God called Gideon. Gideon wasn't sure of his calling and tested God with fleece. If God would save Israel by his hand, let dew fall only on the fleece while the ground was dry. Gideon asked those conditions and God met the condition. And Gideon asked again to do it differently the second time by making the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew, and God did so. As Gideon was ready to strike the Midianite, God told him that he had too many soldiers, so Gideon chose 10,000 men from 22,000 men. God said that he still had too many and asked him to take them down to water, and Gideon chose 300 who drank water from cupped hand and defeated the Midianites. Afterwards, Israel enjoyed peace for the next 40 years. Here we see a cycle of 5 stages, one that is also observed throughout the period of the judges. The cycle begins with apostasy, when Israel turned to foreign gods. The idol worship is resulted in oppression when God punishes Israel through foreign nations. Why did God take this method to punish them? Using the foreign nations all the time. We see that in the Old Testament, right? And it appeared to be God intended to show that the foreign gods Israel worshiped could not save them, but instead inflict pain, contrary to what they believe. The cycle then moves to repentance when Israel recognizes their sin and returns to the God of their ancestors. The cycle then moves to deliverance when God sends judges to deliver them from their oppressors. The last part of the cycle is peace, when Israel abide by God's law. Sadly, during the time of peace, they do not feel the need for God, rebel against God again, and go back to the beginning of the cycle, repeating the habitual path. This cycle of spiritual downfall and restoration is not restricted to this particular time in Israel's history, but was seen from the Garden of Eden onward. God created a perfect paradise, but Adam and Eve violated God's law. God punished them and drove them out of the garden. The entire history of Israel has followed the cycle of sin, punishment, and restoration. Now, is this something we see only in Israel's history? Many historians note that history in general follows a similar pattern. Polybius, from the 2nd century BC, argued that the governments evolve and decay in a recurring pattern of stability, corruption, and collapse. And then new empire or nation would arise. Many empires, nations have followed this pattern. History often repeats itself. A similar cycle is embedded in organizations, churches, and even individuals. The prodigal in Jesus' parable went around the identical cycle we see in the book of Judges. And let me explain. The first stage is apostasy or rebellion. The younger son wanted to move out. Life out there looked promising. The second stage is oppression or the consequences of sin. Soon after he left home, he became destitute. The third stage is repentance. He regretted leaving home and said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." The fourth stage is deliverance from the wretched life and recovery. He returned home and all his privileges were restored. The fifth stage is peace. He was at peace with his father and enjoyed a good life at home. The parable ends with the older brother's anger at his father for accepting the prodigal and celebrating. Even though he did not leave home, he was not happy. He was not satisfied with his living condition as his brother once felt. The older brother at home speaks volumes about those of us who are at the father's house, yet not quite happy with how God operates in our lives. We sometimes think that God does not treat us fairly. Our reward should be much more than what we have received. We do not know how good our life is under the care of the Heavenly Father and how miserable life without the Heavenly Father can be. You know, I once, many times thought about, you know, I share the story of me running away from God. You know, didn't want to do the ministry. And I had so many things that I want to do. But I thought about, you know, what if God really allowed me to go into those fields and then, you know, let me run my life? My fear is that I wouldn't have been happy. And my life would have become miserable. And I'm glad that I stick to this route. You know, we have that kind of tendency of the second son and then the also the older son as well. If we share the older brother's position, we risk falling into the cycle. The life our Heavenly Father designed for us is that we happily abide at the Father's house always, always, and do not get caught in the cycle. In an old story, the father and son who worked for months to build a toy sailboat. Every night, the man and his boy would disappear into the garage for hours. It was a labor of love, love for each other and for the thing they were creating. The wooden hull was painted bright red, and it was trimmed with gleaming with white sails. When it was finished, they traveled to a nearby lake for the boat's trial run. Before launching it, the father tied a string to its stuns to keep it from sailing too far. The boat performed beautifully, but before long, a motorboat crossing the lake cut the string, and the sailboat drifted it out of sight on the large lake. Attempts to find it were fruitless. Both the father and son wept over its loss. Few weeks later, as the boy was walking home from school, he passed his favorite toy store and was amazed to see a toy sailboat in the window. His sailboat. He ran inside to claim the boat, telling the owner about his experience on the lake. The store owner explained that he had found the boat while on a fishing trip. "You may be its maker," he said, "but as a finder, I am its legal owner. You may have it back for $50. The boy was stunned at how much it would cost him to regain his boat. But since it was so precious to him, he quickly set about earning the money to buy it back. Months later, he joyfully walked into the toy store and handed the owner $50 in exchange for his sailboat. It was the happiest day of his life. As he left the store, he held the boat up to the sunlight. Its colors gleamed as though newly painted. "I made you, but I lost you," he said. Now I've bought you back. That makes you twice mine, and twice mine is mine forever. Our Heavenly Father designed our lives to abide in Him at His house, where everything is provided. Yet, like the second son, some desire independence from God and backslide. They want to steer their lives in the direction they choose. Others may think like the older son, saying, "I'm not happy with the way God operates in my life. God is not treating me right." However we view our lives, God has given us His very best. God wants us to walk with Him on the straight path from the beginning until the end. Not a repetition of the cycle, no zigzag, no ups and downs, but to move steadily heavenward. Lord, keep us by your side. Hold us up from falling. Help us move heavenward. Amen.
Freely you've received, freely give. Offerings can be put in a plate at the back of the church or mailed to the church office.
said wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story of turn, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away and noon. Tell me the old, old story.
As we stand before your presence, O Lord, we recognize all the goodness and mercy that you have given unto us, the abundant blessing that you have filled our lives with. So, Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we give you this token of our thankfulness felt deep within our hearts, and ask you to continue to bless us, that we may be your instrument of your love, of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Trust and obey, verses 1, 2, and 4.
The Lord, in the light of His Word, what a glory He shed in the world. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He thus richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but His rest if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let us pray. Teach us, O Lord, once more how to trust and obey. Even when things don't make sense, we can still trust and obey, believing that we are in Your 100% control and You are leading us to the direction that You have planned long ago. As we do that, O Lord, we can still rejoice before all the turmoils and anxieties and troubles we face in the world. Teach us, O Lord, to trust and obey, that we may celebrate our life in You as always. Therefore, send us forth in Your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you. You believe each other's over the sea. God will be.